I'm Brian Papstein. Welcome to our presentation of Meet the Candidates, our special series to help you get to know the views and opinions of candidates for local offices. In this segment, we'll hear from Howard Leahy, candidate for Humboldt County Assessor. Each segment of Meet the Candidates is 16 minutes long. Welcome, Howard.
Thank you for having me.
If you would like, here's an opportunity for you to make an opening statement and let folks know a little bit about you.
All right. My name is Howard Leahy, and I am currently the Deputy Assessor for Administration for the Humboldt County Assessor's Office. I have lived in Humboldt County for a little over 20 years, raised three daughters with my wife, Barbara, and I do have a bachelor's degree in Management Information Systems, and I have worked at several positions within the assessor's office. I started out as an appraisal tech, which is kind of a support position, and for the appraisers. A year later, I was promoted to appraiser. And then after that, within about a year and a half after that, I was promoted to supervisor. And I've supervised our property tax exemptions, exclusions, our mapping department, as well as our transfer department. And I am currently in position to become the new assessor come January.
That would be because you're running unopposed.
That is correct.
Yeah, the best kind of campaign.
Yes.
What should Humboldt County residents expect from the assessor's office, Howard?
Well, first of all, just a little bit of talk about, we process about 6,000 to 7,000 deeds annually, plus about 3,000 new construction permits with a staff of 29. And in doing that, we our goal is to do them timely. We are responsible for assessing all taxable property within our county. And we are diligent in being fair, respectful, and being accurate.
Now, I recall 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there was a big whoop-de-whoop about assessments of properties.
Okay.
And it kind of became topical, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of discussion. Why haven't we heard much about that since? Is it because there was a huge re-shifting of the values and the property taxes associated with that, or something else?
I'm not sure if I'm familiar with exactly what you're talking about, but we're by law, by state law, we're required to assess all property. And whenever there's a change of ownership or if there's any type of new construction, we're required by law to reassess those properties.
Does that include the ADUs or the mother-in-law units that are being?
It does, yes. Any kind of improvement to a property is taxable.
How do you determine what the value is? Is it what properties are being sold at?
So for change of ownership, it's the market value at the time of the change of ownership occurred. And so what we do is we look at comparable sales, so properties that are sold that are similar, that indicate what the value of the property during the market at that time. And of course, that can change throughout the year. going back to 2008 when we had that huge market crash, obviously, people that purchased properties, prior to that were at the peak of the market. And then all of a sudden, boom, the market crashes. And so what we're required to do is reassess those to the current market value. It doesn't change the original market, but the original assessed value, but it changes what you'll pay taxes on temporarily.
And then it just gets readjusted.
Readjusted annually until you either meet or exceed what your previous assessment was.
So you do that anytime that properties change as well as significant valuation changes?
Yeah. I mean, if anybody thinks that they're being overassessed, they're more than welcome to contact our office, and we will review the current assessed value and determine whether or not it is truly being overassessed, and then look at it's called a Proposition 8, if anybody wants to know and research that.
I wouldn't suspect you're getting a lot of calls for that these days.
We are not. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. We are the ones that were previously on Proposition 8, decline in market values, are being removed.
What a shocker. How do you determine the value? Is it what you know, you said comparables. Is that similar to what the real estate agents do when they're trying to set fair value?
Exactly. So a typical I'm not working as a real estate agent, but what they do is they look at when they're going to set the value to sell a house, they're going to look at what are the other houses in the area selling for? And of course they want to get the top dollar they can for their client. And so but it gives them a range of where to start at.
When a property sells over asking, mm-hmm. with asking kind of being as somewhere in the neighborhood of where the real value is.
Yes.
Which value do you go? Is it what it sold for, or is it was the fair market value?
What the fair market value is what someone's willing to pay for it.
So even though the comparables may be less, mm-hmm. you go for the higher figure.
Yeah, if I have a property, say for an example, that maybe I have it for $250,000, and you come and say, I'll give you $300,000 for it, of course I'm going to say, yeah. but so to you, that is the value you believe that property is, because that's what you're willing to pay for it. And so that's what market value is.
So if somebody in a weird scenario is very emotional about, let's say it's the house they grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And they knock on the door, and it's not for sale, but they get the silly offer, and it sells at that level. Even though it's not close to market value at all, you still go with that high number?
Unless
I protest it with Proposition 8.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's an assessment appeal to protest it, but we can go through that later. We have seen that. It's not very often, but occasionally it's usually someone come from out of the area, paid way more than what the current value is. And we're still required to go with the market. If we could support that purchase price as the market, then we'll go with that. But sometimes, you know, things happen. You know, someone didn't do their due diligence and come to find out there's lots of termite damage and things like that. And there's a lot of repairs that they weren't aware of until after they purchased it. And we can look at making
an adjustment.
It's an adjustment for stuff like that.
Sounds like a Victorian money pit.
there's a few of those around our county.
Yeah. there was the issue also in some of the Shelter Cove properties that I guess in a general broad stroke could be described as vertical. Not building lots, but they were there.
Yeah.
Had property taxes out, owing, things of that nature.
Yeah.
If somebody buys one of those or ends up with one of those, is that a caveat emptor? Or is there this appeal process? Can that really work through some of those unintended situations?
I mean, I warn people to do your research if you're buying property in Shelter Cove. The county itself is slowly trying to get rid of some of those properties that were deemed unbuildable, is what you're referring to. And the way they're doing that is because people find out they can't do anything with it, so they stop paying the taxes on it. And so it becomes a tax lien sale, and then somebody else buys it. So what the county started doing, the treasurer tax collector, is offering those to adjacent parcels to buy them at a very
To absorb into
and
that.
Then okay. And then they would add combine their properties with that one to get it off the tax roll, and not really get it off the tax roll, but at least it's not going to reoccur on the tax lien sales.
Kind of clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't know John had that in him.
He did. He, it was. I think it's something that's always been there. And then John Bartholomew is the one that started doing that a few years ago. And I would assume that Amy Christensen, who's the new treasurer tax collector, will keep moving forward with that.
Yeah, that just why chase ghosts, so to speak.
Yeah. I don't want to speak for her, but I believe that that's what she would do.
What's the ideal background for somebody to be an assessor? I mean, you know, you've got book knowledge, and then you've got out in the field. It almost sounds like a real estate agent might be in that mix somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, one is I think having a college degree is beneficial. And I think actually working in an assessor's office is a great boost, I think, because they're, yeah, real estate is real estate, and but it, the way things are processed are slightly different than in the real estate industry, and there's laws that we are bound to that maybe they're not in the real estate industry, and so they're and we're governed by the State Board of Equalization, and so they basically like do an audit of our office probably every 4 or 5 years, and they'll actually go through and look at our procedures, our processes. They'll even look at some of the appraisals we've done.
So do a little spot checking.
Yeah, to make sure that we're being fair and accurate, and nothing out of the ordinary or no favoritism, anything like that.
I would suspect that that's pretty evident if it happens.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we have in our office is every appraiser who has any kind of responsibility with appraising property, whether it's our auditor appraisers for business properties or real property appraisers, they have to sign a conflict of interest form that, and they're not allowed to assess any properties that they own, their family owns, a very close friend, anything like that. And if and then anybody that owns property that works in the assessor's office, obviously that employee is not allowed to assess their own property, and someone else does it, and then it's checked by a supervisor to make sure that it's a fair and accurate appraisal.
Yeah, I would suspect with some property there's a lot at risk.
Yes.
For everybody.
Yeah.
You don't want to get into that snafu.
Yeah, you don't want to get into a situation where someone's trying to coerce you into doing something, you know, that's illegal. So we have checks and balances to avoid that.
Is there a lot of rule changes that the state has with assessments?
Not. Well, the biggest one is Proposition 19 that was passed in November of 2020. And the way that it was promoted, people didn't realize when they voted on it that they were eliminating pretty much the parent-to-child exclusion.
Oh. Yeah.
And grandparent-to-grandchild exclusion. And it's still in there, but it's totally different. You can't, before it was every property you owned up to $1 million assessed value was excluded from reassessment. And now it's only the principal residence of the parent, and it also has to be the principal residence of the child.
So if someone is the family farm, or yes, an area.
Well, family farm's
family
different.
Family ranch. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is that, yes, a different classification?
Yes,
or
there is a piece of that allows a family farm to be transferred to intergenerational transfer to a child, whatever. But your residential homes, you know, rental properties, things like that, where under Proposition 58, they were excluded from reassessment, but they are no longer.
Yeah, I'm thinking of some of the families in the Bay Area that might have been 4 or 5 generations.
Yes.
And there's, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, they, one of the ways it got promoted by, you know, funding fire districts and stuff like that, which we're all supportive of, but they didn't let you know they're the other piece of it.
Yeah, 5 or 6 ripples out.
Yeah.
Hitting the shore.
So,
yeah.
And there are some positive sides to it, in my opinion. Is the one of them is for fire victims, like which happened over in Paradise and, you know, over in Redding, down in a few years ago down in Santa Rosa, that you can relocate to another county within the state and move your assessed value to that new county.
Really?
Yeah.
So if somebody had a regular house in Paradise and they ended up in, let's say, L.A. in a $2 million home,
mm-hmm,
they'd be paying Paradise property tax,
yeah,
value?
Yeah, that is correct. There's some calculations that go into that, so it's not exactly, you know, but it's pretty close.
Not that would have been able to occur too regularly.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah.
Which,
you
know,
interesting.
It benefits, I think, someone who's lost everything, you know, and, you know, I don't know how many people stayed in Paradise after that, you know, terrific, you know, that horrible fire and stuff, but it allowed them to move to another location and be able to move that instead of getting reassessed all over again.
Yeah, getting piled on, so
yeah,
to speak.
And the same thing is, you know, once you're 55 or older, Before, you used to be able to do that once, do the same thing, and now you can do it three times.
Really?
Yeah. And if you're married...
This one's a whole lot more interesting to me.
And if you're married, you get to do it three times each.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see
you. And congratulations on your victory.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited to take over this new role. I mean, I had a great mentor in Mari Wilson, and so I appreciate this opportunity. And I just wanted last shout out. I just want to say how much I appreciate all the staff at the assessor's office and the county as a whole. Sometimes they don't always get the recognition that they should and how hard they do work. And I don't think the public sometimes realizes, you know, they take some abuse sometimes, but they do work really hard.
Thanks for participating, Howard.
Thank you.